Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be known as the supreme reservoir of all material opulences by the one-fourth of his energy in which all the living entities exist. Deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from the anxieties of old age and disease exist in the kingdom of God, which is beyond the three higher planetary systems and beyond the material coverings. Purport. Out of the total manifestations of the Sandini energy of the Lord, one-fourth is displayed in the material world, and three-fourths are displayed in the spiritual world. The Lord's energy is divided into three component parts, namely Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. In other words, He is the full manifestation of existence, knowledge, and bliss. In the material world, such a sense of existence, knowledge, and pleasure is meagerly exhibited, and all living entities, who are minute parts and parcels of the Lord, are eligible to relish such consciousness of existence, knowledge, and bliss, very minutely in the liberated stage, whereas in the conditioned stage of material existence, they can hardly appreciate what is factual, existential, cognizable, and pure happiness of life. The liberated souls who exist in far greater numerical strength than those souls in the material world can factually experience the potency of the above-mentioned Sandinis, Samvit, and Ladini energies of the Lord in the matter of deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from old age and disease. In the material world, the planetary systems are arranged in three spheres called Triloka or Svarga, Martya and Patala, and all of them constitute only one-fourth of the total Sandhini energy. Beyond that is the spiritual sky, where the Vaikuntha planets exist, beyond the coverings of seven material strata. In none of the Triloka planetary systems can one experience the status of immortality, full knowledge, and full bliss. The upper three planetary systems are called Sattvika planets because they provide facilities for a long duration of life and relative freedom from disease and old age, as well as sense of fearlessness. The greatest sages and saints are promoted beyond the heavenly planets to Maharloka, but that also is not the place of complete fearlessness because at the end of one kalpa, the Maharloka is annihilated, and the inhabitants have to transport themselves to still higher planets. Yet even on these planets, no one is immune to death. There may be a comparative extension of life, expansion of knowledge, and sense of full bliss, but factual deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from old age, disease, etc., are possible only beyond the material spheres of the coverings of the material sky. Such things are situated on the head. Adhayi murdhasu. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om agyana timirandasya vyananjana salakayam chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha nama om vishnu padaya Krishna prestaya bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So before I start, I would like to seek the blessings and permission from all the present Vaishnavas in the temple room and those which are online, especially from all the senior Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis present here. from Maharaj, and please forgive me any offenses or any impractical things which are not so easy to apply in our devotional life. But yeah, humbly beg for your blessings. Vancha kalpa turupyascha kripa sindhu bhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavabhyo namo namaha anantakoti vaishnavrindaki. We can see in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, now Brahma is starting to describe, he's kind of make the transition from explaining the Virat Rupa of the Lord. Up to this point in this chapter, he was explaining how we can relate to the Virat Rupa form of the Lord. We've been discussing how it's difficult to perceive and how jnanis, mental speculators, are prescribing or presenting these universal features of the Lord. The different limbs of the Lord are the different Varnasha system, different parts of the Varnasham system. How the different planetary portions are the different parts of the Lord. And now Brahma is actually explaining from the verse 18 how the Supreme Personality of God is transcendental to this material realm. So I will repeat the translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be known as the supreme reservoir of all material opulences by the one-fourth of His energy in which all the living entities exist. Deathlessness, fearlessness, and freedom from the anxieties of old age disease exist in the kingdom of God, which is beyond the three higher planetary systems and beyond the material coverings. We can see in the purport how Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, divides in two sections. In one section, he's speaking about the internal energy of the Lord and different machinations of the internal energy of the Lord. And in the other section, he's presenting how this universe is divided in, again, a variety of sections. And how these sections ultimately are not a shelter or a place or a residence for the living entity. There's one, a very interesting thing Baladev Vidya Bhushan is mentioning in his Gita Bhushan purports, that we have this general understanding that jnana as such, or knowledge, means just knowledge in general. Baladev Vidya Bhushan translates knowledge as that process by which something is to be known. So jnana as such is a very individual aspect for every single one of us. That by which something is to be known. So for those which are seeking impersonal liberation, jnana means that path which leads them to thinking that they are Brahman, they are part of Brahman, and when they finish their earthly pastimes, they will go back to Brahman. Basically impersonal liberation. Jnana means for those which are following the path of Ashtanga Yoga, that sort of a practice which allows them to have mystical siddhis and also to have that unique connection with the Paramatma. But jnana for those which are practicing the path of bhakti ultimately means that process which allows me to know the goal, which is Krishna. That by which something is to be known. So if we inject that something is Krishna, the path to know Krishna is naturally only bhakti. Through all the bhakti shastras, this is very firmly established. Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that how this Samvit, Ladini, and Sandini Shaktis are equal to kind of the desire or impetus of the soul to understand existence, knowledge, and bliss. So it's interesting, on book distribution, I always speak to people and I ask them, what do you desire from life? What do you want? What is that something that keeps you motivated to wake up every single day and do what you're doing? And somehow, if you boil things down with those people on the streets, it comes to singular point, which is happiness. I think that's, for those which are sadhakas, that's quite straightforward. Interesting enough, happiness as such, or desire to achieve happiness, is one unique feature with both liberated souls, those which are in the spiritual world, and those which are in the material world, have actually always in common. That's one thing which we always have in common. We are pleasure-seeking and we always desire to be happy. Yet, it's a natural indicator for us that if we strive for something which is outside of the scope of this material world, it must exist. It does exist. But naturally, in our lifetimes of experiences, we haven't really experienced that full-on happiness. But because we hanker for it, it naturally means it has to exist. It is existing. Therefore, in this section, Srila Prabhupada is touching upon the point of Vladini, Samvit, and Sandini Shaktis. So I've done a bit of a research, and Prabhupada also refers to, and also from the 10th canto, there's very lot of references to Jiva Goswamis, specifically Bhagavad Sandarbha. And this is reference which I'm going to be reading to you from Anucheda 103, verses 43 and 44. So we're going to take kind of like a gradual process or gradual sort of a step-by-step process to understand what is in the beginning, the three modes of material nature, culminating into understanding what is Vasudev Sattva, what is the pure unalloyed Vasudev consciousness. So this is the quotation. In the mode of goodness, what is otherwise unknown is seen. In the mode of passion, a great variety is seen. And in the mode of ignorance, that variety disappears. In the mode of goodness, one becomes neutral to the comings and goings of matter. In the mode of passion, one tries to help others. And in the mode of ignorance, one tries to harm others. In this way, there is material creation, maintenance, and annihilation. And there is also indifference to all material happenings. In the slightest trace of passion were present, the word pure in pure goodness will become meaningless. So it's interesting how Jiva Goswami is commenting and offering this explanation that in the mode of goodness, what is otherwise unknown is seen. So what does it mean? When I'm listening to Prabhupada memories, one interesting thing which all or many of Prabhupada disciples, they have one common sort of experience in meeting Prabhupada. And that is, they always say, Prabhupada saw right through me. That what is unseen becomes seen to those persons which are on a very pure level, minimum on the level of goodness. So we can see also, I remember when I became a vegetarian in the age of 16, 17, somehow or another, after one year of practicing vegetarianism, somehow your life becomes much more purer. You start seeing things what you haven't seen before. You start connecting with people on the levels which you couldn't connect before. You start seeing the subtleties of movements. You start seeing the way the people been interacting. You start seeing the varieties of face features. You start seeing that how people react and respond to you even without speaking. So the mode of goodness is something which is very, very subtle and very difficult to perceive. But again, the practice of Krishna consciousness due to sadhana bhakti can actually reveal all what is hidden. And the side effect of Krishna consciousness or practice of sadhana bhakti is purity of vision. That which is unseen becomes visible. As is mentioned by Jiva Goswami, in the mode of passion, a great variety is seen. So in a mode of passion, you start seeing things more and more, activities. In Sankirtan or book distribution, it's an interesting thing, like when we hit the street around 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., there's a point where everything speeds up. Like Bishal and Smar Hariprabhu, sometimes we look at each other and say, do you feel it? It's like, yeah, I feel it. There's literally a change in the ethos. There's a change in the environment. There's a change in how people start interacting. Somehow in the morning, people are like, they're ready to have a conversation. They kind of are much more tuned in some kind of or form of spirituality. But then suddenly around midday or 1 p.m., boom, it hits. Mode of passion. You can see it's like people speeding up, they're gearing up, they're much more passionate, and you also need to gear up. sometimes when you distribute books. So when you're speaking to individuals, in the morning you can be like, okay, mode of goodness, you can keep it nice and peaceful, shanti, and people feel attracted to it. But then, when the mode of passion, you have to be like much, much more quicker. For those of you who have ever seen Mahotsava Prabhu from Atlanta, his book distribution is very interesting. He distributes in a very enthusiastic, very, very kind of a passionate way. And he's like, you don't even have a time to think differently. You don't even have a... He attacks your senses, your mind, and he fills your mind with so much samskaras in the very limited amount of time that your brain will be literally redirected to a track that he desires. So this is the way that we can integrate mode of passion in the path of bhakti, by going to a level of individuals to such a degree that they can relate to Krishna consciousness. You literally pour an avalanche of spiritual samskaras, that you grasp their mind to such a degree that mind is literally put in a box, right? You give them so much Krishna consciousness that you not allow them room to speculate or to redirect their attention. And this is actually an art. This is an art of attracting the living conditioned souls, the jivas. So this is how the best way to kind of utilize mode of passion in the preaching. And it is said that to a certain degree, mode of passion is very much useful and needed in terms of preaching. Mode of ignorance is something when you become destructive and rather indifferent, and you again minimizing the sensual impact, right? You can even see in the physical and face features of individuals which are in a mode of ignorance. You can see the dullness, you can see the covering, you can see how they're like just covered to such a degree that whichever amount or whatever amount of philosophy you present or whatever points you've, it just doesn't penetrate. There's this kind of like a subtle barrier where people cannot relate. So the best way to sometimes preach to people in the mode of ignorance is to offer prasadam and to give harinam, to sing and to chant. Because I was always thinking in places like Leicester, in places like Luton, in places like varieties of places in London, if you give those devotees or those people, if you give them a book, they can be benefited by touching the transcendental literature. But without intense kripa, that philosophy will not penetrate. But imagine you give them like very nice, juicy, succulent, sucked with ghee, kind of a kachori in their mouth, right? And you just feed them and feed them and feed them with the spiritual food. What happens, the intensity of the spices and the ghee will nourish them so much that they will find these intoxicants as secondary, right? Because ultimately, again, as we established in the beginning, people are looking for happiness. But our duty as Krishna conscious devotees is to present varieties of sources or options or opportunities for them to have that sort of type of happiness. But I kind of redirected my class a bit. In the verse 44, Jiva Goswami speaks this, and this is a very interesting point. Bit philosophical, but pay attention. It's interesting. It is said, we spoke about Vishuddha Sattva. Vishuddha Sattva is pure unalloyed goodness, right? Three modes, but above that is Vishuddha Sattva. Quoting, if Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness, is present, then Sandhini Shakti's partial expansion, Adhara Shakti, in brackets, maintenance, Samvit Shakti partial expansion, Atma Vidya, spiritual knowledge, and Hladini Shakti's potency, Guhya Vidya, confidential knowledge, are present. Pure goodness is the combined form of these three potencies. So Sandhini, Samvit, and Hladini Shaktis, they have again another expansions. And I'll repeat these expansions. Expansions of maintenance, spiritual knowledge, and confidential knowledge. When these three when these three aspects come together, the pure unalloyed goodness can be manifested in the heart of a devotee. And later on, we're going to say how Vishuddha Sattva equals to Vasudeva Sattva. So let's do this on a practical level. What does this mean for a devotee? Maintenance, spiritual knowledge, and confidential knowledge. Maintenance, spiritual knowledge, and confidential knowledge. These three aspects are very pivotal, very fundamental principles for a devotee to practice. Maintenance, which on its own already indicates mode of goodness, right? Mode of goodness means maintaining the standards. Fluctuation, that's mode of passion. That's many times mode of ignorance. That's basically nishta. Maintenance, mode of goodness can be implemented very much on the stage of nishta. When your sadhana bhakti, when you as a sadhaka became stabilized, when you became stabilized, and that is adhara shakti. That adhara shakti is the energy which allows you to maintain your standards of devotional practice. So mode of goodness is nothing else than a habit. Mode of goodness is a series of accepting and rejecting. More or less, more accepting than rejecting, right? So if you desire to be in a mode of goodness, you need to be ready to accept new habits. And believe it or not, the difference between the castes and Varnashram system is all based on habits. But we're not talking only sort of a physical habits of repetition, something which you do with your head, with your legs, with your arms, with your feet. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So this is the test of maintaining mode of goodness. You can fake sadhana to a certain degree. You can fake sort of a, in psychology it's called like a muscle memory. You can fake muscle memory to a certain degree, to a certain stage, to a certain by a certain time. But that will go. It will disappear like a cloud in one point. But the question is how it will not disappear. If that mode of goodness is to such, it becomes internal part of your consciousness. It becomes internalized habit. It becomes not only physical practice, but becomes internal contemplation. So I had a conversation by my good fortune with Kartik Chandra Prabhu yesterday. And he shares with me some very, very profound statement. He said, if a materialist or someone who's on the place, on a platform of jnana looks at a tree, right? What he can say, he said, this tree is a healthy tree. This tree has a healthy bark. This tree is giving healthy fruits. The leaves are not so healthy. It's got maybe this type of a parasite. There's this kind of a type of birds are residing, occupying this tree. So jnani, when he observes and he classifies things. For a bhakta, he straight away thinks, become more tolerant than the tree. Trinadapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnuna. So something to be maintained, it needs to be internalized. And the internalized becomes a vision. So this is the difference between material practitioner or jnani practitioner, ashtanga yogi practitioner, and the devotee, and the uttamadhikari. The difference is internalized maintenance and external vision. And also proper consciousness of visualization and understanding things. So we touch about the maintenance. Then another part, the atmavidya, the spiritual knowledge, which is the expansion of samvit shakti. Spiritual knowledge is this, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. The words of the acharyas, this is spiritual knowledge. And the jewel, the shiromani of spiritual knowledge is emphasized or is presented by Guhya Vidya, which is expansion of Ladini Shakti. So what is the confidential knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam? Recently we've been discussing in Chaitanya Charitamrita classes, right, where in the Ramananda Sambad, that we came to a point, certain point of like a breaking point, tipping point. And that point was where Ramananda Roy quoted this very unique, very specific, very, very hidden verse. And the acharyas are commenting on this specific verse that actually when Shukadev Goswami was speaking about this really confidential knowledge, he actually even desired to hid it. The desire of Shukadev Goswami was to hide this most confidential knowledge. And that was the name of Radharani. So the most confidential knowledge is hidden for those which don't have the access to the knowledge of the Acharyas, right? Radharani is the most highest elevated personality and servant of the Supreme Lord. And that's the most confidential knowledge. And in this Ramananda Samvad, Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy are describing the most intimate pastimes. Sometimes when we study these books, when we study these verses, when we contemplate upon them, we don't really include, very much including myself, we don't really understand the magnanimity of this presentation. Chaitanya Charitamrita is like a hidden confidential presentation or a commentary on this specific verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it's explained the unique relationship between Krishna and Radha. So that was established. So this Vishuddha Sattva is the combination of these three things: maintenance, confidential knowledge, and spiritual knowledge. Atma Vidya, Guhya Vidya, and Adhara Shakti. That's basically how to come to the point of Vishuddha Sattva: to maintain mode of goodness, to study spiritual books, and also with a degree of respect, enter the confidential knowledge of the Bhakti Shastras with the guidance of the pure devotees. So to continue, I think this is too technical. We're not going to go into these things. I mean, why not? Atma Vidya, the spiritual knowledge, consists of two parts: knowledge and the actions that lead one to knowledge. So knowledge itself, as something which we possess, as a really integral part of your practice, to have some kind of a jnana and process which leads you to that knowledge. Right? Because the moment you say you know, what you do, you're cutting your devotional life. It's done, it's finished. The moment you say I understand or I know, it's game over. So whatever knowledge you possess, it should be simultaneously, you should be also on the mark, on the path of leading yourself to more knowledge, to more understanding. So that was to describe the Atma Vidya. The Guhya Vidya, the confidential knowledge, consists again from two parts. This is from Jiva Goswami's Bhagavat Sandarbhas. Devotional service itself and the actions that lead one to devotional service. And it eventually leads to love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sadhana bhakti, or the process of bhakti, and simultaneously being in the path or narrowing your life to such a degree that you can acquire more sadhana bhakti. Right? So you have bhakti already, but you're still on the path of desiring more bhakti. So these are two parts to Atma Vidya and Guhya Vidya: not possessing already some knowledge and still have maintaining desire to still possess more. So this is very intimate sort of a presentation, how to acquire proper sadhana by Jiva Goswami. Now, there's some interesting presentations by Jiva Goswami on the term Vasudev, or Vasudev stage. Quotation: the word Vasu means either that by which gives a home to a supreme personality of Godhead. I'll repeat that again. Vasu means that which gives a home to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the home in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. Deva means he who enjoys transcendental pastimes, or he who shines with great splendor. So to be on the Vasudev stage, or Vasudev conception of understanding, pure unalloyed goodness, that which gives a home to Supreme Personality of Godhead, is devotion. So if you desire another perspective or another angle, if you desire to be Krishna conscious, you need to create the place in your heart for Krishna to reside in. Right? So as I said, Vasu means place where Lord can reside. So if you desire to be Krishna conscious, if you desire to have that connection with the Lord, you need to offer something. Something needs to be offered. A dakshina needs to be given. a residence, a dharma needs to be given. In the pastimes of Devaki and Vasudev, the acharyas are commenting, give their commentaries, give their perspective that the first personality to enter the womb of Devaki was Balaram, right? Balaram entered the womb of Devaki for what reason? For reason to prepare the place of residence for Krishna to enter. So what does this mean again from a practical level for us? In fullness to accept Krishna and fully to invite Him, the first personality who needs to be invited into our life is Guru or a spiritual master. Without spiritual master who's a pure representative of Balaram, it's not really possible to fully take advantage of this Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Vasu means to create a home for Krishna, means first and foremost to create the home or residing place of a spiritual master. And he himself implements and gives Krishna to you. So I'll continue reading. Another meaning of Vasu is wealth. The Lord himself says, the principles of religion are the real wealth desired by man. Therefore, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead either possesses or causes other to possess the wealth, Vasu, that is religion, he is known as Vasudeva. In this way, Vasudeva Sattva is the same as Vishuddha Sattva. So as we established, if we desire to be in a pure unalloyed mode of goodness, Shuddha Sattva, we need to also be prepared to invite Guru in our life. We need to be ready to accept this pure unalloyed wealth, which is the wealth of Krishna consciousness. And there are other different aspects which we don't need to necessarily go through. But so we just established that how Vasudeva Sattva is equal to Vishuddha Sattva, pure unalloyed mode of goodness. And how these Hladini, Samvit and Sandini Shaktis are all participating very actively in the life of a devotee. And this is thanks to Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami. So if devotees have any points, any questions, anything they wish to share, please feel free. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, thank you very much. Wonderful class. Thank you. Thank you so much. I've got three things, I think, here that I'd like to contribute. And one question. Shall I go with the question first? Is that? You mentioned something that distinguishes the four classic paths of yoga. And you said Gyan and Ashtanga yoga. Bhakti, and you said there's something that distinguishes them?
Habits. Goals. What is your goal?
Uh-huh. I think you mentioned a Sanskrit term, and it just kind of went over my head.
I mean, ultimately, the goal of individual paths of yoga is different. Those which are karmakandis, they still desire sense gratification. Those which are practitioners of jnana yoga, they desire impersonal liberation. Those which are Ashtanga yogis, they desire to perceive the Lord as a paramatma. Those which are bhaktas, they desire to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Therefore, the individual paths are based or separated based on goals, what they desire. Their desire and the goals they desire to achieve.
Okay. Thank you. And then I've got some couple of things that I'd just like to contribute, because I was just thinking, I started to rise at kind of 1-2 a.m.
Good.
And I just picked up on that. You know that verse from the Gita which says that you know, for the enlightened sage, night is day and day is night. And that I just started to think about, you know, when karmis generally start to get to bed. You know, it's kind of, they consider kind of 1 a.m., 2 a.m. to be sort of, oh, that's the time you go to bed, right? So that just kind of clicked into my mind as being, maybe that's a time that is actually auspicious for us to rise. And then there's, I just wanted to also contribute, there's a book by, because you mentioned maintenance of the mode of goodness is about good habits, maintaining good habits. I thought it was really very, very good, very positive. And I just wanted to contribute a book that I've had a look at. It's called Atomic Habits by James Clear. I just wanted to contribute that if anybody wanted to pick that one up.
Sure, Prabhupada's books first, then other books. Thank you for that. Appreciate. Any other points by devotees? We can go by Harinamananda Prabhu and Panchatattva Prabhu.
How to bring the guru within the heart?
How to bring the guru within the heart? By having the same desires as he has. I would say it's much more profound than association is really reading the mind and desires of the guru. And by that way we can actually track his blessings. Revati Nandan Prabhu? Or Marge?
You mentioned also that in the mode of passion, people want to help others. And I had the idea that it will be a part of a quality of the mode of goodness. So can you maybe answer or add a little more details?
Yes, obviously to help others has got two sort of perspectives. To help someone, you can help someone from a material platform, like offering, building hospitals, wells, you know, planting forests, trees, and helping generally to maintain a higher standard of material lifestyle. That is help, but it's considered passionate type of help, not really something which helps to ultimately understand God. For a sadhaka, for a Krishna conscious devotee, to help means still maintain mode of goodness, because even if you desire to give prasadam, serve prasadam to someone, the way you cook should be also cooked with a certain type of consciousness. When you offer, or when you're doing book distribution, your mode of goodness, sadhana, should allow you not to be afflicted by the mode of passion by which you utilize to present the books. And what else is there? Holy name, when we do harinams, we should still understand that our enthusiasm is not passionate enthusiasm. It's a manifestation of us being in a mode of goodness which presents in some almost gymnastic way, like when we're dancing and doing a variety of things. So to help others is very much in a mode of passion. But to help others from a Krishna conscious perspective, the foundation is mode of goodness or Shuddha Sattva. If any devotees wish to comment on that. Panchatattva Prabhu first, and then Prabhu if you don't mind.
Thank you, Prabhu. You mentioned the moment we think that we know, we cut ourselves from the ability to continue to learn. And I was wondering if you could comment on that. You see, sometimes maybe senior devotees will be in a class and they'll ask like a simple question that, you know, I can get puffed up and think I know the answer to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could maybe describe the sort of process of questioning and always trying to take more from the speaker or senior devotees in good association rather than thinking that we already know the answer to that question.
Knowledge is very much unlocked by practice. You can see a variety of Vaishnavas in our community when they read Bhagavad Gita. There's a layer of something which you accumulate as knowledge. But for a senior Vaishnavas, the more and more he reads, the more and more in practice, the more and more he chants and does his devotional service, the depth of seemingly mundane knowledge becomes much, much more deeper. Like, yes, we can say so many times you became a sutra, you're not the body, you're a soul. But the question is, are you sure? Do you really 100% you are on that line and fully understand that simple sutra? You're not the body, you're a soul. So there are different layers and levels to knowledge. So why not? Let's be humble and ask the simple questions. And maybe by the grace of the Vaishnavas, we will have deeper understanding of that simple topic. So by us inquiring more about the topic, the more can be revealed. If we say, or if we build a wall of that I know, then you know. There's no much more for you to know in that case. So we hamper our devotional life by thinking that we know. So I guess humility means to just understand the fallibility of our understanding. So the more you inquire, the more is an option or possibility for us to accept knowledge in much more profound way. Vaishnavis, any questions? We can give a room to mothers.
Thank you very much for your class. Just wanted to ask about, you talked about motive, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Can you explain why some devotees were banned from the temple then? Why are seniors, particular yourself to me, stopped me from seeing Guru?
Including me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, okay. I'm not aware of that.
Well,
temple is a place where culture is very, very important for sadhakas. And without spiritual culture and basic culture, running mode of goodness could become difficulty. So for us to practice Krishna consciousness in a correct fashion, in a correct way, culture should be and must be maintained. If that culture is not maintained, then it's not hampering or not sort of, it's detrimental not only for you, but also those which are around you. Because temple is a place where we desire to create certain atmosphere which is based on respect, knowledge, understanding, and culture of worship, those which are authorities and senior to us, which ultimately is established by Srila Prabhupada. If that is not followed, these, I think they're basic principles, then some sort of a restriction needs to be put in place. That will be my answer.
Okay, so thank you. What about the second question regarding that is, devotees obviously are, Krishna is part of energy of them, internal energy of every devotee in the world, I believe. Everyone is an extension or parcel of him. So certain levels create seniors into certain gods. I think we all are servants of gods.
It's a singular, not plural.
Sorry?
It's one god, not multiple.
I know it's Krishna's god, but we're all servants of God.
God, okay, good. Thank you.
So my question is, if we want to...
Take your time.
If there's gods of war in the material world, what action would you do?
If there are gods...
Which are affecting, yes, sampradayas, what would you do?
Maybe some Vaishnavas can explain this. Maybe I haven't really understood the question properly. Can you simplify it for me, please?
Yes, certainly. So if there's lots of sampradayas competing with each other, obviously Krishna is, I believe, external part of all. If there are certain senior devotees who are competing and are envious of others, what action would you suggest one should do if they are trying to take each other out?
It is said...
Because I believe love is higher than everything, than war.
Yes, of course. There are four bona fide sampradayas. Sampradayas which are coming from Brahma, sampradaya which comes from Sri, four Kumaras, and ultimately our Sampradaya, which is Brahma Sampradaya. Those Sampradayas which are in line with these four predominant personalities are considered to be bona fide. Anything which deviates from Shastrical injunctions and practical applications is considered, in our tradition, not bona fide. So there are simple sort of a testing mechanisms to see the Sampradaya, that is, backtracking the gurus and the philosophy they're presenting. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is very much packed, and Lord Chaitanya was similarly declared some sort of purification for these other sampradayas. We don't necessarily, you can do whatever sampradayas you desire to do. Ultimately, you harvest the result of that. We have philosophy which very strongly grounds us in understanding Krishna is the Supreme. Lord Chaitanya is the united or manifestation of Radha Krishna. And we have philosophy to support that statement. So if any sampradayas make certain statements, they should be very much ready to defend it. Shastrically, not sentimentally or emotionally. Sentiment is something which emanates from the mind, emotions. But the emotions should be purified by path, by devotional practice, and ultimately they should lead to a pure emotion, which is bhakti. But let's not dive into sahaja concepts. Let's be careful and stay on the path of sadhana bhakti. I think we can give a space to other Vaishnavas also to ask or to maybe comment if they desire so.
Class, Prabhu. I was just a little bit confused about your point before, where you're saying like devotional service and making prasadam for people, that's considered to be in the mode of goodness. My understanding is that depending on the intention, it can be transcendent to the modes as well. Would you be able to clarify?
To do something transcendental or to practice something transcendental, certain minimal requirements has to be met, which are not necessarily transcendental. Cleanliness, purity of consciousness. There's some kind of activities which you have to do before, right? You do some mantra meditation, which in itself is transcendental. But let's say the atmosphere of the kitchen needs to be clean. Those which are cooks needs to be qualified. So there are certain attributes which are seemingly material, yet the result of that, based on utilizing these different modes, specifically the mode of goodness, the result will be transcendental acceptance, or the Lord will accept the prasadam. If the food will be done in an unclean fashion by unclean personalities, in a way which it's not in line with the sadhana bhakti, then why the Lord should accept it? If your consciousness is not purified, if you don't have good intentions, Lord is not interested in food. Why he should? He's interested. The food or the offering becomes a container. It's merely a material container for your bhakti. It's a container, nothing more. Krishna doesn't need to eat halva, chapatis or puris. He's not hungry. The food becomes a container for your offering. So, yeah. I think, okay, Prabhu, and then we're going to finish.
Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. You were talking about sadhana and doing sadhana in the wrong way won't lead to a good result, and something about muscle memory or something. And I just wanted you to understand a bit more carefully what's doing sadhana in the wrong way and what's doing it in the right way. And I didn't understand about memory.
Perfect question. Baladevi Debhushan explains what is a dandavat, what is an offering of full obeisances. It is said that you touching six parts of your body to the floor. Dandavat, again, it's activity, it's a physical activity. Yet, what is the important is how do you offer the dandavats? What is the meditation? One of the angas which are offered during the dandavat is the mind. Where is your mind when you're offering your obeisances? Yes, we may lie in front of Prabhupada, but you may think, well, what will be for breakfast? Our hope is the South Indian type of a dish today, because I really love my sambar. Is that considered spiritual activity or a physical muscle memory activity? Or you do achaman, right? You try to purify yourself. And you don't even say the mantras, you just chuck it in your mouth. You know, some type of water, which is not even possibly purified, is maybe even not Gangajal. Is it a spiritual activity, purifying activity, or is it muscle memory type of activity? So the thing is contemplation, and what is the meditation behind what you perform? So you may very simply, very easily slide into muscle memory, muscle activity. You can put on tilak, you don't even have to recite mantras. You just put a piece of mud and clay on your body. What's the use of that? If you do not install the Lord between these lines, then it's a mundane thing, mundane activity. So you can just massage the beads. I mean, there is some, you know, something nice by touching tulsi. But what's the benefit if you don't recite the mantra? So there is activity which is seemingly looks devotional, and there is activity which is actually devotional.
Expressing is the internal consciousness.
Internal
the
consciousness is everything.
That you're doing has to be cultivated at the same time. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granta Rat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitya Gaura Premanande.